Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 68, Cracking the Spine. My name's Sean.
I'm Zane.
And my name is Josh.
It's weird that I say welcome to, isn't it?
Why?
I don't know, because it's not my house. I'm not, like, inviting you in.
You're inviting them into the podcast, into the listening experience.
You sure as shit invited yourself to that beer.
No, it was given to me, first of all. Thank you. Anyway. We've got a 68 joke. Don't do
it, Zane. Offensive.
68, dude.
And offensive. Too soon, Josh.
Vietnam. Yeah, look it up in a book. Welcome to Cracking the Spine.
Or any crossword puzzle.
Yeah, oh yeah, for three letters. Right?
Vietnam holiday, three letters. Yeah, got it.
Holiday for some. not for America.
All right, that's all the time we have for this week.
I got the creakiest chair tonight.
Well, make sure you keep moving around.
I'm not even moving. It's just doing it.
All right, cool. Zane, what are you reading?
Broken chair. I am reading The Little Stranger by Sarah Waters.
Do I know this book?
I don't know. Did I give it to you?
Hey, all right.
What?
What is The Little Stranger? Little Stranger?
I think it's going to be a horror novel.
Okay.
I'm not very far into it. I just started it. But it's it takes place in like post-war England.
Which war? There's a lot of wars in England.
The Second World War.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's like 48, 49.
49, dude!
And I think it's going to turn into like a Victorian-style ghost story.
Okay.
Right now we're in a dilapidated mansion.
Okay.
Definitely not a ghost in there.
Wait, what's it called?
The Little Stranger.
Okay. We used to have a host on the show named Lauren who once read a book called The Little Stranger. No, what? That's the one you just said.
Yeah.
There's another book by Sarah Waters. The Paying Guest was by Sarah Waters.
Waters.
Yeah, Waters. And Lauren said that book was really freaky and disturbed her.
I read some reviews and it said that this book was scary.
Is it out?
Yeah, it's out.
Okay. Where'd you get it? I didn't give it to you.
I got it from your mom.
Oh, from her butt, probably. That's where the books go.
I got it from the bookstore, but I bought it.
Wow. All right.
Wow.
He's mad.
I procured my, I know. I knew he would be.
I'm not mad.
He's not happy.
I'm taken aback. I'm going to admit that. It's weird that you're reading a book that I didn't give or recommend to you. I'm not saying it's a problem.
It would be weirder if I did it.
What?
That.
Recommended the book or read a book?
Read a book.
It'd be really weird if you
read a book. It'd be weird if I read a book.
My book supplier has not been supplying.
I'm sorry. No one's been blowing me up on the Sky page.
So, you know.
How'd you hear about it?
My own books. I do what I always do. I Googled, like...
London, spooky... Post-World War II.
Ted Offensive.
When was it?
No, I start to get... I like author recommendations. So I start Googling and I get like deep into lists and stuff like that of spooky books.
Huh.
And that's usually how I find books when you don't give them to me.
Cool.
But it's a lot of work. And
look at him.
Sucks.
He's looking at you.
He's upset. I knew he would be upset.
I'm taken aback.
He's taken his back.
Super butthurt.
I'm none of these things. I have recommended books to you that you haven't read, but you're free to pick your own books.
Wow. This might be the last episode. This is the Ted Offensive
what books
of
have
it.
I not read?
The Lies of Locke Lamora by Scott Lynch.
Which you've never actually given to me.
Okay. Alright. Anyway.
I read the books that you give me.
I'll fix this. I didn't read anything.
Damn.
What? I'm taken aback twice now in this show of tech.
Thank God Josh is here to fix it.
I will say, though, Mike, our friend Mike, who maybe people might know him, was talking about a book.
Oh, sure. Mike talks about a book.
Yeah, right?
It was a Philip K. Dick book about a... alternative history, World War II, Man in the High...
The Man in the High Castle.
Castle, yeah. I want to read that.
The only reason Mike knows about it is because they made it into a show.
That's what he's talking about, but yeah. I want to read it.
Yeah, I would say...
I like Philip K. Dick because he was a schizophrenic.
But I was going to say, bite into that book with a grain of salt because it's Philip K. Dick. And this is not... I do not feel about Dick the way I feel about Vonnegut.
I didn't think you were going to say Vonnegut.
Well, no, I hate Vonnegut, but I love Dick, is what I was going to say. You heard me. I love Dick.
Someone should edit the show so it sounds like you say those words in a row.
No, I edit the show. That's not going to happen. you know, when you read a Philip K. Dick novel, it's a whole thing. Like, you're like, it's like you said, Josh, it's like reading something written by a schizophrenic.
Yeah.
Because it is.
He was the first Chuck Tingle.
Yes.
Except he was real.
But yeah. All right. Cool.
What are you reading?
Well, so, like I said last week that I was reading the Chuck Tingle, pounded up the butt by my own sense of existential
dilemma. It's important.
That I'm a character in a Chuck Tingle novel getting pounded up the butt.
Yes.
Turned gay by the existential dread.
There it is.
I'm sorry. But what happened was I realized I only downloaded the preview, like the free sample of it that you can get from the Kindle app. And when I went to, this is to, an apology to the book club and also kind of like a wagging of my finger at the book club. When I went to buy it, it turns out that, at least as far as I can tell, and maybe somebody will blow me up on the subreddit to show me that I'm wrong.
That's what it's there for.
Yeah, thanks, Internet. You can't buy it unless you have a Kindle Unlimited subscription.
Oh, that's what you guys were talking about when I was ignoring
you. I don't have a Kindle Unlimited subscription, and I bought it just fine.
Well, maybe you can get me to help my VCR to stop blinking 12 o'clock, because I can't figure out how to download it without the subscription onto my phone.
Oh, maybe. Well, you do it on your computer, right?
Yeah.
You have the Kindle Fire.
I have that, too. I don't use
my Kindle Fire.
Where did you download? You downloaded it onto, like, your laptop?
There's, like, a Chrome app.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That you can use. It's like a Kindle reader. And, I mean, you can use it. It's the exact same app that you use on your phone, like on your iPhone, but you can use it like on your browser. And that's just, honestly, I don't really love reading on my phone. So I usually just, if I'm going to read a Kindle book, a lot of times I just read on my laptop.
I'm not terribly interested in reading the Tingle, but like, I feel like that's something I can read like while pooping in the bathroom.
You can read in like 10 minutes if you could get through.
Are you sure you should be mixing those erotic zones?
I don't know that I'm going to get turned on by a Chuck Tingle book.
By your own poop coming out of your butt.
Anywho, I did not finish... Long story short, or short story long, I did not finish the Tingle book. But I am still reading Rogues, which is that short story collection by George R.R. Martin. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, and I feel like this is a cool thing for me to say, usually when I... That came out wrong.
So cool. He's smoking a clove cigarette right now.
Usually when I read short story collections of various authors compiled by someone, there's like one or two stories that I'm like, eh.
Mm-hmm.
And like the majority, I feel like, you know, I select the book well enough that I know that the majority of the stories are going to be good. This collection... I am now on my 9th story into it. I have not yet read a story that has not been amazing.
Oh, wow.
They're all great.
Hmm.
There's a story by Scott Lynch who wrote The Lies of Locke Lamora, which Zane refuses to read.
I heard that she was like, I refuse.
There's a story by Gillian Flynn that we talked about last week and Joe Abercrombie. Mm. And like, some of them are high fantasy and some of them are like super high fantasy. And some of them are just like contemporary thriller kind of things. But they're like the name of the book is Rogues. So all of the main characters are like thieves or like, you know, scoundrels. People living. Exactly.
I like when story collections have like a discernible theme like that.
And I feel like
it makes reading it a little bit easier.
I feel like all of these stories have been so well selected. So it's out. It's actually, I think it's out in paperback now. I'm reading the hardcover, but I'm pretty sure it's out in paperback. And it's 700 pages, and I'm about 300 into it. I'll have it finished by next week. It's super awesome.
Cool.
You guys should be reading it.
I'll read it after.
Not you, guy. The internet people who are listening. I'm not recommending it to you. You don't read anything.
Except for Dick.
No, he just looks forward to Dick.
If it's long enough, I'll read it.
When Mike tells him about Dick, he's all about Dick.
Yeah.
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 Describe the Dick to me.
Schizophrenic.
I'm listening.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, the listeners have failed us, so you guys have to listen Oh, it is a listener suggestion?
Yes.
I mean, the listeners are awesome. So we're going to have a great topic to talk about. Someone should edit it to sound like that didn't happen. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to episode 68 of Cracking the Spine. I'm Josh.
I'm Zane.
I'm Sean. I used to have a 68 Firebird.
Oh my god.
Did you really?
Oh my nope. God. Okay. He's making fun of me because I said I had a 67 Firebird, which I did.
Oh. Yeah. Zane would know that if she listened to the show.
I do listen to the show. I just don't listen to you guys.
Oh my god.
What?
You know that.
First of all, we are the show.
Kind
of. I mean, I'm at least 11% of the show.
Minimum. Zane, do we have a topic or should we just keep going?
We have a topic.
All right, don't act so surprised. Listen, we're recording on a different day than we usually do.
It's all screwed up.
And we didn't know exactly what we were talking about. We usually get like a little bit of advance notice. That's not a knock on you, Zane.
I didn't know I was going to be here until noon.
Yeah.
It takes at least 24 hours for me to prepare to come to this place.
To get into character.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I need absolute silence.
He's got to do research. He's method. He has to go study the real Josh to realize how to actualize.
He has to go stand in a freezing cold shower and scream.
Josh Anderson!
What are we talking about?
We are talking about book analysis. Reddit user Apocalypse Meow.
Great name. Two? First one was better.
I don't know. Terminator 2 is better than Terminator 1.
That's true, but Apocalypse Meow 2 is not as good.
He wrote, or she wrote, how do you feel about book analysis? When is it time to just let a book be a book as opposed to examining every element of it?
I am going to shock you and say never. A book is never just a book. There's always something going on.
I'm shocked.
Always.
And I'm going to shock you and say that I couldn't give a shit about what's going on in a book. I just want to read it. I don't need deeper meaning. If I find it, like, that's cool, but you know, go back and listen to the archives of 67 episodes of the show, and you'll hear that I don't really talk about, for the most part...
That's true. You're reading shampoo bottles and
the
shit.
The deeper meaning of what I read. No, it's not just that I'm reading shampoo bottles, although I do. I read some pretty, like, deep, in-depth stuff, but I'm not really looking for...
That's interesting to me.
And it's interesting to me that we're going to have a... We're going to analyze the topic of analysis, and I'm going to come down on the side of like analysis.
Yeah. It's surprising to me. I don't know. I don't know. I tend to think that, like, that's what kind of connects people together, right? Like, I like to... see, like, the patterns of, like, human thought that go on. Sean's pretending to fall asleep. He might actually be falling asleep.
No, I'm just rolling my eyes.
I hope he's dying.
No, I'm all right.
Jeez.
I've got a good, like, 80 years left in me.
80? Yeah. Maybe. It could be. Anyway.
Go ahead, continue. I was really into it.
I like to experience being a person is what I'm saying. When I choose to read.
Okay. No, I'm not rolling. I've stopped rolling my eyes. He's giving me a look like I hurt her by hurting you, Josh.
Well.
All right. Well, I guess we know who the bad guy is tonight.
Yes.
For a change.
Tonight.
No, I just, you know, like, I understand that books are symbolic and that there are deeper truths that speak to the human condition in most novels and that there's only so many stories that can be told. But honestly, I just want to be entertained. I just want to, like, I want to escape reality for a while. And I think part of it is, you know, I go back to this a lot. It's like high school English class.
Yeah.
Where they force you to find, they force you to analyze things.
Well, they force you to analyze things, and they also force you to agree with whatever the analysis of whoever the hell's teaching the class.
That's exactly it. Like, the analysis of the teacher is the correct analysis of the book.
Which is bullshit.
But I feel like, you know, maybe it's rubbed off on me that all analysis is bullshit. Like, or the opposite, everybody's analysis is correct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't matter what deeper meaning you got out of it. You liked it or you didn't.
I would say that probably there's a, I would think that there's a more middle, like, I don't think everybody's analysis is correct, and I don't think that there is, like, a one true and, like, symbolic analysis of a book, but, like, it's like art, right? Like,
yeah.
Art, like, theoretically, sure, everyone who's drawing on paper is making art, sort of.
Right, yeah, yeah. Okay,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But
everybody with a camera can make a movie.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure. But, like, at some point, like, when, like, there is a point when it becomes art, or it becomes a movie, you know?
Right.
But I don't know. I enjoy kind of stumbling upon it and thinking, like, oh, I get, like, I understand, like, it's like I'm seeing, like, something bigger than me, or, like, something bigger than, like, even humans. Like, I don't think we even know we do it. We just have to do it, though. I don't know. I need that. And that's why I don't think I read a lot, because if I don't get that, I'm, like, bored.
Well, that's interesting. That's actually a really interesting insight right there, that you need something more out of a book.
Yeah. It needs to, like, literally jump off the page into my lap.
Like, for me, my analysis of a book is, you know, is character X really who they say they are? Not does character X stand for some larger archetype?
You're thinking of it more like a, like, from a character story building type of thing, right? Like,
yeah, because I read, because I tend to read more novels than you know, nonfiction. Zane's
been quiet.
She's been too quiet.
Three quiet.
Too quiet. I think that there's
a right answer.
That there's a place for analysis, and I think that there isn't a place for analysis. I think that there is something to be said for just enjoying a book just because it entertains you and you like it, and there doesn't need to be deeper meaning or anything like that. But also, I think if we did manage to learn anything from our time spent doing, like, forced analysis of books, that, like...
You mean, like, in school?
In school.
Yeah.
That you, when authors employ certain storytelling techniques, when they employ certain literary techniques, that it does make a story, like, more enjoyable. So, you know, like, when you read a book and you really, really like it, if you went down and you, like, you broke it down, is there, like, good use of those literary techniques and stuff like that? Is there good use of foreshadowing and, you know, all of that crap?
all that stupid crap.
All that stupid shit.
you know, like, that is that what makes a book, like, when you read a book, and you read it and you're like, this is a really challenging book. This book is really, like, engaging my brain. Mm-hmm. Like, it's making me smarter. You know, are those the books that make good use of these techniques and things like that? Cause, like, that's what I think of when I do a book analysis, is it's not just, like, themes and stuff like that, although that's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with Sean a little bit that, like, to sit down and do that for every book, like, to read a book on your own and then, like, break it down into crap like that would take away from the enjoyment of it.
Yeah.
But also,
Thank you, Zane.
But I also think that, like, if you were to do that, you would find that the books that you enjoy are better written. Do you know what I mean?
Like, right, it's like a house. Like, they're better constructed. There's certain things,
like, it's,
that are...
You know, or, like, you brought up art. Like, when you... a lot of art that you look at, like, employs certain ratios of size and proportion and certain colors and color palettes. and complementary colors and stuff like that that naturally appeals to your eye, you know, or when you listen to music, like certain chords sound pleasing, right. Certain chords sound bad to you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, probably the same thing could be said for movie making, and,
yeah.
You know, like any kind of art that you do. And so that's what I think about when I think about book analysis is like breaking a book down into its technical terms.
Really?
That's what I think about when I think about book analysis too, is what Zane said, like, you know, what was the symbolism what stories does it, you know, mirror, and,
right.
And how can you compare and contrast it to...
Yeah, I like that a lot. Those ones I like a
lot.
Do
you?
I like that. I just think it's I don't know, there's something...
But my point is...
It bogs me down.
My point is that whether you approach it like Josh does, which is like head on, or whether you kind of skirt around it and you're like, well, I don't really want to think about that stuff, those things are always there, whether you're like making the analysis or not.
You know, my brain just...
And I think it affects your enjoyment of the book.
Mm.
I can see that. Absolutely.
You know?
And I think that this is a lot like, and you'll take me out, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and
okay.
I hope you guys will follow me, and you guys are going to follow me right away. But it reminds me a lot of the way that the three of us individually play the game Skyrim.
I love this.
Okay? And here's what I'm going to say, okay?
Yeah.
When I play Skyrim, all of the treasure that I get,
yeah,
I sell for gold.
Because you're a fool.
All of the armor that I get and weapons that I get, I enchant so that I can get more gold when I sell them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want possessions. I don't want footprints.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play the game and move on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
You, Josh, are really big on collecting as much, as many artifacts as you can.
Yeah.
Getting all of the legendary armor, getting all of
yeah.
the weaponry,
mm-hmm.
making sure that you've gotten every book that is in the game into the actual shelves of your library.
I did that.
Right? And Zane, you're sort of in between Josh and myself.
Uh-huh.
Wherein you're willing to sell things that you have
yeah.
for gold,
uh-huh.
but you also build houses
uh-huh.
and collect legendary armor.
Uh-huh.
And I think that speaks to... I think that's a very easy analogy for the way our three brains work differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm visceral. Like, I want the experience.
Right.
And I want to move on to the next experience. And I don't want any kind of... I don't want to say memory of it. Because, like, I remember the books that I've read. And I remember the things that I've collected in Skyrim. But, like, you know, the information is... You know, it's very fleeting to me.
Right.
Okay.
But, Josh, as you were just saying, you would like to think about how it relates to...
Yeah.
what you experienced and how you think of the human condition.
I like to have that because I like to... That's mine now.
Right? Like your house full of
diamonds.
Legendary diamonds and shit.
Legendary diamonds.
And Zane, you're in the middle.
Always.
Everything is Skyrim, you guys. Everything goes back to Skyrim.
Oh, okay.
Skyrim
now,
is an
now
analogy.
Now I'm on board.
I was on board with as soon as he said it. I recognize the symbolism immediately.
No,
does that work?
I agree that everything
works.
Is Skyrim.
Yes.
And it's
I
really
agree.
Funny that I'm using this analysis because I hate analysis.
You do hate it, apparently. But I don't think that you do. I think that you believe that you don't like it. And I think that you associate it with a feeling. But I think your subconscious needs it. I would say that the reason... I'll even say this. I'm going to go out on a limb.
Here we go.
I would say that... You wouldn't even like books without it. I don't think it would be possible.
Without what?
Without you subconsciously, on some level, analyzing what you're reading.
Okay, but don't you think, though, that part of the analytical process
mm-hmm.
is conversing with other people and sharing what you've...
Doesn't have to be. You can think about stuff.
I think that's kind of what Josh is getting at, is that, like... You're sort of, you have like a very, to borrow your word, visceral response to like even someone bringing up book analysis because of how it made you feel when you had to do it. It was this thing that you had to do. You had to do it for someone, either for your teacher or with your classmates in front of them. And so like, I think that's like part of what you're saying is like, it's no, it's like this thing that you have to do like with other people, you know, and it's not. It's something that you do in your brain. Well,
that's totally fair.
I talk to myself all the time. Like, I learned when I was...
Different show.
In my head, like, when I was a kid, like, I didn't have any brothers or sisters, so I had to learn how to, like, entertain myself. So I talk to myself constantly. Like, I'm constantly thinking in my own head about shit.
I think everybody does that.
I'm sure everybody does, but, like, I do it a lot. And I think, like, with a book, like, when I read something, like, I'm already... Like, I think all the time. Like, I can't, like, sleep ever, because I just can't stop. Like, I don't stop thinking about, like, whatever, like, shit, whatever.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and, like... Again, I think that's a very common...
Sure. Probably it is.
Okay.
But... it's like a thing that I can't not do. And like, I don't know. Like, I just think it's a thing that I've just learned. I always sort of attributed it to being, an only child because I never, like, if I read a book, I couldn't say like, oh, you should read it. Like, I didn't have a choice, you know? So I don't know what that means.
Maybe time for some analysis.
I maybe need to go to therapy.
Yeah, it's not that I don't think about the books that I read. I do. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's not that when I read a novel, it's very hard for me, you know, to not skip ahead or, you know, make assumptions in my brain about what's mm-hmm. going on or even think to myself, to liken books to other books, which I do all the time. But, like, I feel like it's very masturbatorial to when you finish a book... You know, sit around in a circle and go, well, you know, when the protagonist was challenged with the Deus Ex Machina, there was a very Dickensian mode to which he responded.
I think that that's like what you were saying, Zane.
It's
that's
like totally. He's like
yeah,
scarred.
Yeah, it's like
you're
damaged.
Scarred from,
you're like,
yeah.
A scar? Ah, sweet, dude. That guy almost wins.
No, but it's like
it wasn't for that fucking warthog.
You like sustained like this like damage, like this psychological damage from having to do this in school.
No, I'm good.
So that's why I think that's why like when you're confronted with it, because when we brought it up tonight, when we were like, oh, let's do book analysis, you're like, oh yeah. You got pissed about it right away.
Yeah, okay.
That doesn't really sound like you. But I think, like, you know, I think the point that we're trying to make is that whether you, like, sit around and do it, like, at a book club or, like, write it down on paper or if you're just kind of, like, sitting around afterwards thinking about the book, like, you are doing your own analysis of the book. And that was sort of my point. Like, whether you... are like super into analysis like Josh is, or like whether you're just in it for the entertainment value, like that analysis does exist in your brain.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I
we all do it. And therefore like it does have a purpose and it does have its merits. It's just,
shampoo box.
No, but I'm not going to dismiss your point, Zane, because I know that, you know, I on the surface go, oh, analysis, but poo poo. But, I've also
How
done...
Dickensian
of
you. Dickensian. Neo-Dickensian, thank you. But no, it's...
Yo, you big into neo-Dickensianism?
I also know that I've been on a book podcast for 68 weeks now, and what are we doing on this show if not
analyzing the
act of reading?
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's my point of departure, is that I'm okay with analyzing... like, the reasons behind reading, but when you, like, I'm into the macro analysis.
Right.
Okay.
But the micro analysis of an individual book.
I would say it's all the same.
Rubs me wrong.
Well, and especially, like, to do it after you've read the book is a little bit like when you used to take a test and then afterwards your friend would be like, yo, would you get on question number 7? I put down this thing. It's like, dude, we already took it.
I want to go back, Josh. You said you think that the macro and the micro are the same thing.
I don't think there's a difference.
Go on. Expound. Let's analyze that.
I just don't...
Starring Robert De Niro.
Oh, my God. That's the second one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think that there's...
I've never seen it.
I don't remember even what you said now. What did you say?
The macro versus the micro, you think they're the same thing.
You think that... Well, what you do is you... Like, the reasons for read... Like, you analyze the reasons for reading.
My conversations about literature are more about it sounds so conceited when I say it. I'm hearing my own voice say it, but it's more about the bigger picture of what you're reading,
right?
Not the micro of a specific book speaking to a part of the human condition.
I think that that's pretty big, but I also think that if you're not, I mean, when you're analyzing a part of a specific book, that's one step in the macro of analyzing why you read something.
I can see that, yeah.
Like, I think it's just a zoomed in, like, again, we're using failed language, the human language can't, like, these are really big topics.
The concepts behind all this
they're really huge, so, like, we're not gonna, you know, be able to describe them, but, like, you're like, it's just a different section of the bigger. I think that it's a circle. It's not, time's a flat circle. Like, it's not like there's no, like one's bigger and one's smaller, in my opinion. I just think it's all the same exercise.
That's absolutely, I'm not here to...
I'm not saying...
It's an interesting analysis. They both put their head down on their arm.
If I had taken a picture of Zane's face when she said that, you guys would have done the same thing.
It was pretty smug.
And that's coming from me and Josh, labeling something as smug.
Listen, I learned from the best, all right?
Oh, she called us the best. Josh, or maybe me. I don't know. It's hard to say. She did look at me when she said it. All right, before we analyze this thing to death, let's go ahead and take a little break. And when we come back, let's laugh some more.
Okay.
Still Josh.
And
this is the third segment.
You guys didn't send us any emails or stuff.
Nope, even though we asked.
Slacking at the slack pole.
Let's go with that. Like, now, guys.
Like, yeah. Send the emails.
Yeah, send them in. Twitter.
Maybe you don't remember. crackingthespineshow@gmail.com. That's how to get to us on email.
Uh-huh.
reddit.com/r/cracking...
The Spine Pod.
That's how to get to us on Reddit, where we're not as active as we should be.
Tweet at us, @CrackingSpine.
That's the @ symbol in front of it.
They're pretty active there.
Yeah. Well, get more active.
Yeah, get more active.
We need show suggestions, you guys.
Yeah.
We need things to talk about in the third segment, because Josh doesn't know what this segment's about.
I never do. I always ask, and I never remember.
We do this.
We can talk about Game of Thrones. We haven't talked about this whole series of Game of Thrones. I mean, the season, rather. We haven't brought anything
Somebody
up.
Somebody might be listening that hasn't seen it.
Nope. Sorry. I'm sorry. The internet is not responsible for hiding things from you that you haven't watched.
I agree. I hate that shit.
Right?
Yeah. I hate it. I hate when everything is like, spoilers.
Quit spoiling shit for me. Stay the fuck off of Twitter,
like,
man.
Like, I hate that.
Unless you're going to Cracking the Spine Twitter. Then get on there.
But I will say, I was kind of happy that they brought the Kingsmoot out. Not happy with the way the Kingsmoot played out, because they really gave it short shrift.
Yeah. It's more in the book.
There's a lot more in the book.
They have sort of like a debate, like a slam poetry debate.
Yes.
They're like, here's why I'm gonna be the best student body president.
There were like 9 candidates for the next king.
Then I don't wanna see that. I don't wanna watch a bunch of 9 guys saying a bunch of shit.
But also, what else is going on? It's hard to compare because we are past the books in a lot of parts.
Did I officially tell my theory on the show?
No, go ahead.
I told you guys before.
Yeah, but we're recording, man.
How Jon Snow wasn't revived by the Red Lady. Mm. She had nothing to do with it. That he could always do that.
Yeah.
That's my official theory.
I think that's an interesting
theory.
Mark
on
it down. I have analyzed.
Intuition.
I've analyzed the show, and I'm real smart. So
wait, why? I mean, like, why do you think that he can do that?
visual cues. I don't know. It like the way that they played it out.
You're guessing.
I'm not guessing. It's a guess. I mean, it's a guess because I don't know.
Okay.
But that's what I'm. That's what I'm saying. Here we go.
All right. She's old, by the way. That red lady. She's all old and shit. How's that gonna play out?
Put that necklace on. Okay. So they all have one of those though, because we saw another one. They all have a necklace.
Yeah.
So they're all old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Daenerys killed all the Dothrakis.
Yeah, the Bobo or Dothraki.
The Kals. Yeah, the Kals.
Yeah.
And now she's got back on that
Dragon,
which by the way was kind of shit way that they did that, where she was like for like a season and a half,
uh-huh.
She's been like, I can't find my dragon, and where's my dragon?
Mm-hmm.
And then she like releases, like she frees all of the slaves of the cows, and then they're like walking across the desert, and she's like, hey guys, do me a favor, just wait here for 1 second.
She's mm-hmm. like, just like hang back. Commanding. She's like more commanding now. Like, isn't that what this whole thing is about? It's like now she's actually gonna like take power.
Yeah, but
instead
how the fuck
like,
did she find the dragon?
I think it's implied that she has a better connection with them. Like
yeah.
she's getting more
she's
powerful.
Like, yeah.
She's becoming like a legendary.
It wasn't
like,
implied on my cable system.
This is why I think that one of the reasons I think Jon Snow could always do that. There seems to be section like groups of people in each section of the world that are
crazy powerful.
Yeah, they're obtaining or gaining crazy magical powers.
Or based on what we've learned from Bran,
mm-hmm.
they always had them.
Right. And they're just dormant.
There's this very like quantum thing that's going on, which is kind of hinted at in the books.
Well, it's the comet, right?
The weirwood trees, mm-hmm. the white trees that like exist everywhere that everybody prays to, that they have the ability to see the past, the future, and the present all as one.
Mm-hmm.
And like that, you know, that leads to Hold the Door. Which I think has gotten blown a little bit out of proportion.
Oh, it was made to do that, though. That's what they wanted.
Yeah, like, you know. Also, he's not done. He's back. He's coming back.
Yeah, I don't think he's dead.
He's an undead.
Yeah, he might. Yeah, him and the other lady from Hardhome, they're going to chill
out. Oh, Mira.
Yeah.
And the other dire wolf, too.
Oh, man, I get so upset when those dogs die.
Do you?
Yeah.
They love to kill off those dire wolves.
Who's going to kill Ramsay Stark? Good question, Sean.
Good question, Sean.
I know the answer. There's a right answer. Not Sansa.
It's Sansa?
Yeah.
She's pregnant, probably.
With his son, yeah.
Yeah. Is she going to kill the kid?
Ooh. She'll have her own red wedding.
If there was only a microwave, she could just stand next to it.
All right.
Maybe Sam will build one in Old Town. Tune in next week!
Oh boy.
All right, take a little. No, we're not gonna take a break.
We're done. We're done. We're done.
Did I ruin it? Did I ruin
we're
this show?
All
no, you couldn't ruin this show.
Okay.
This show is like
it was
a
just,
microwave.
It was just the cherry on top of this microwave.
There it is. Thanks for listening. If you're still here, we'll talk more next week.